I'm Manda.
And I'm Pamela.
And we are the host of the quickly growing Fairy Fails podcast, a podcast for relationships of all kinds, romantic, platonic, and more.
Every Monday, we will be posting new content for you to enjoy so that you'll always know when and where to find us.
If you'd like to send in your suggestions, you can do so at fairyfailspod.com, where you'll find all of our social media platforms, information about your hosts, and much more.
Please join us Mondays for a fun-filled conversation. And as always, you can be part of the conversation by getting on our Discord, YouTube, Instagram, or any of our other social medias.
Don't forget to follow and hit that notification bell to be reminded every time we upload.
We'll see you there.
Hello all, Saf Big here. As you listen to my podcast, I would hope that you would make a donation, if possible, to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, or the PCRF, ENERA, the American Near East Refuge Aid, or Medical Aid for Palestinians. In these trying times, it is necessary for everyone to do what they can. Even if it's a little bit, it helps. Thank you. Welcome in the Great Khan's tent. History, literature, and storytelling. Are you interested in getting the book you just published reviewed? Writing some piece of literature and need help getting it out there and promoted? Interested in sharing what piece of literature we should cover next? Well, fret not. In the Great Khan's Tent is now available on Patreon, where your contribution can help in growing this podcast. For as low as $3 a month, a price less than a good, and I mean good, cup of coffee, you can help contribute to the growth of this podcast. Every bit helps, but as always, it is not necessary to do so, but will be appreciated. Find the Patreon link on our website, on our social media accounts, or email us and we can send it to you. Thank you. If you have any suggestions, comments, or complaints, please be sure to email us at allowercaseinthegreatkhanstent@gmail.com. That is inthegreatkhanstent@gmail.com. We would love to hear from our listeners. Welcome to In the Great Khan's Tent Ramzan Special Episode 1. In this special episode, we will examine the oral and written narratives pertaining to Islam, in particular focusing on some of the lesser-known prophets mentioned in the Quran, including their related narratives. The structure of this episode is uniquely different because we are dealing with religious narratives. The first section of the episode recounts the Quranic verses dealing with the topic before moving on to the narratives themselves. The purpose of these episodes is to tell the unique stories and tales about the prophets mentioned in the Quran that do not relate to either the Jewish or Christian traditions and hence are purely Arabic ones. This unique group includes, of course, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also includes the three that we will be focusing on, Hud alayhi salam, Saleh alayhi salam, and Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Listeners will encounter a list of names ranging from one to many before a narrative has begun. This is called an isnad, or a chain of transmission. The function of an isnad is to be a reliable guide to note which oral narratives have good standings and can be understood or agreed upon. The people in these isnad are often vetted through special processes, such as not being prone to carelessness, and are understood as truthful people in good standing. Since these are religious oral tales, essentially they use the isnad method. In this specific episode, we deal with the narratives of Hud alayhi salam and the people he was sent to. His tale is a purely Yemeni one, as the people he was sent to were the Ad, located within the present-day regions of Oman and Yemen. His story is primarily known only from the Quran, as there is an entire chapter that is named after him, and the rest is given to a select few oral tales. Since we have no records of his life, the oral tales revolve around his warning to the people of Odd, their ignorance or outright violence in their attempt to drive him away, and their eventual destruction by Allah for ignoring the call to return to righteousness. After encountering the narrative of Hud, alayhi salam, we will then move on to tell the tale of the lost city of Iram of the Pillars, a city built by the king of Ad, Shaddad ibn Ad, and his attempt at recreating heaven on earth. The last narrative we encounter is the journey undertaken to Shaddad's tomb. These last two narratives, certainly fitting within the folktale genre, resemble the tales that we will encounter further on in the 1001 Nights. In the next special episode of this holy month of Ramadan, we will be looking at the prophets Saleh alayhi salam and Shu'aib alayhi salam. The Tale of Hud. A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan nir-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. And unto the tribe of Ad we sent their brother Hud. He said, O my people, serve Allah. Ye have no other God save Him. Lo, ye do but invent. O my people, I ask of you no reward for it. Lo, my reward is the concern only of Him who made me. Have ye then no sense? And, O my people, ask forgiveness of your Lord, then turn unto Him and repent. He will cause the sky to rain abundance on you, and will add unto your strength to your strength. Turn not away guilty. They said, O Hud, thou hast brought us no clear proof, and we are not going to forsake our gods on thy mere saying, and we are not believers in thee. We say not save that one of our gods hath possessed thee in an evil way. He said, I call Allah to witness, and do ye too bear witness, that I am innocent of all that ye ascribe as partners to Allah besides Him. So try to circumvent me, all of you, give me no respite. Lo, I have put my trust in Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Not an animal, but He doth grasp it by the forelock. Lo, my Lord is on a straight path. And if ye turn away, still I have conveyed unto you that wherewith I was sent unto you, and my Lord will send in place of you a folk other than you. Ye cannot injure Him at all. Lo, my Lord is guardian over all things. And when our commandment came to pass, we saved Hud and those who believed with him by a mercy from us. We saved them from a harsh doom. And such were the Ad. They denied the revelations of their Lord, and flouted His messengers, and followed the command of every forward potentate. And a curse was made to follow them in the world and on the day of resurrection. Lo, Ad disbelieved in their Lord, a far removal for Ad, the folk of Hud. Quran, chapter 11. Verse 50-60. And unto the tribe of Ad we sent their brother Hud. He said, O my people, serve Allah. Ye have no other God save Him. Will ye not ward off evil? The chieftains of his people, who were disbelieving, said, Lo, we surely see thee in foolishness, and lo, we deem thee of the liars. He said, O my people, there is no foolishness in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey unto you the messages of my Lord, and am for you a true adviser. Marvel ye that there should come unto you a reminder from your Lord by means of a man among you, that he may warn you. Remember how he made you viceroys after Noah's folk, and gave you growth of stature. Remember all the bounties of your Lord, that haply ye may be successful. They said, Hast come unto us that we should serve Allah alone and forsake what our fathers worshipped? Then bring upon us that wherewith thou threatenest us if thou art of the truthful. He said, Terror and wrath from your Lord have already fallen on you. Would ye wrangle with me over names which ye have named, ye and your fathers, for which no warrant from Allah hath been revealed? Then await the consequence. Lo, I also am of those awaiting it. And we saved him and those with him by a mercy from us, and we cut the root of those who denied our revelations and were not believers. Quran chapter 7 verse 65-72. The tribe of Ad denied the messengers of Allah when their brotherhood said unto them, Will ye not ward off evil? Lo, I am a faithful messenger unto you, so keep your duty to Allah and obey me. And I ask of you no wage, therefore my wage is the concern only of the Lord of the worlds. Build ye on every high place a monument for vain delight, and seek ye out strongholds, that haply ye may last forever. And if ye seize by force, seize ye as tyrants. Rather keep your duty to Allah and obey me. Keep your duty towards Him who hath aided you with the good things that ye know, hath aided you with cattles and sons and gardens and water springs. Lo, I fear for you the retribution of an awful day. They said, It is all one to us whether thou preachest or art not of those who preach. This is but a fable of the men of old, and we shall not be doomed. And they denied him, therefore we destroyed them. Lo, therein is indeed a portent, yet most of them are not believers. Quran chapter 26, verse 123-139. And make mention, O Muhammad, of the brother of Ad, when he warned his folk among the wind-curved sandhills, and verily warners came and went before and after him, saying, Serve none but Allah. Lo, I fear for you the doom of a tremendous day. They said, Hast come to turn us away from our gods? Then bring upon us that wherewith thou threatenest us, if thou art of the truthful. He said, The knowledge is with Allah only. I convey unto you that wherewith I have been sent, but I see you are a folk that know not. Then when they beheld it as a dense cloud coming towards their valleys, they said, Here is a cloud bringing us rain. Nay, but it is that which ye did seek to hasten, a wind wherein is painful torment, destroying all things by commandment of its Lord. And morning found them so that naught could be seen save their dwellings. Thus do we reward the guilty folk. Quran chapter 46 verse 21-25. The tribe of Ad rejected warnings. Then how dreadful was my punishment after my warnings. Lo, we let loose on them a raging wind on a day of constant calamity, sweeping men away as though they were uprooted trunks of palm trees. Then see how dreadful was my punishment after my warnings. Quran chapter 54 verse 18-21. Thank you. Allah said, and we sent Hud, their brother, to the people of Ad. He said, O you people, worship Allah, for you have no other God but He. Will you not take heed for yourselves? Quran, chapter 7, verse 65. He was Ad ibn Auz ibn Iram, son of Shem, son of Noah, and the tribe was the ancient Ad. The tribe of Ad settled in the Yemen, and their dwellings were in the narrow valleys and sandhills, as Allah said. And remember Hud, the brother of Ad, when he warned his people in Ahqaf, the wind-curved sandhills. Though many a warner had come and gone before and after him, do not worship any but Allah, for I fear the punishment of an awful day for you. Quran, chapter 46, verse 21. These sands were called piled-up sands, Rahmul al-Ij, and they are found between Oman and Hadramut. Nevertheless, the people of Ad spread out in the land and became numerous and subdued its inhabitants because of the superiority of their strength with which Allah endowed them. For Allah had endowed them with strength and stature that He had not given to any others, as Allah has said. Remember, He made you successors after the people of Noah and gave you greater increase in your stature. Quran, chapter 7, verse 69. Namely, grandeur, height, strength, and power. Abu Hamza al-Yamani said, the height of every man among them was 70 cubits. Ibn Abbas said 80 cubits, while al-Kalabi said the tallest of them was 100 cubits, while the shortest was 60 cubits. Wahab said, the head of each of them was like a great dome, and each one's eye would hatch wild beasts, and their nostrils likewise. They possessed idols that they worshipped instead of Allah. One of these idols was called Suda, another Harad, while another Habba. Allah sent Hud to them as a prophet, and while he was one of mediocre genealogy, he was their superior in esteem. He is Hud, son of Abdullah ibn Ribah ibn al-Khalud ibn Ad ibn Oz ibn Iram, son of Shem, son of Noah. Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Yasar said, and Hud alayhi salam was the son of Eber, son of Shelah, son of Arpashad, son of Shem, son of Noah. Eber was born to Shelah after 30 years of his life had passed. Hud, alayhi salam, commanded them to profess belief in Allah's unity and to put no other god with him and to desist from wronging people. He did not command them to do more than that according to tradition, but they rejected everything, called him a liar, and said, "Who is stronger than we?" They built strongholds and attacked in them with the force of tyrants, as Allah has said, "You build on every hill monuments in vain, and erect palaces that you may live forever, and when you apply force, become tyrannical." Quran, chapter 26, verse 128 to 130. When they behaved thus, Allah withheld the rain from them for 3 years until it harmed them greatly. In those days, when misfortune and hardship beset people, they used to seek relief from Allah, and this petitioning of Allah would take place at His sacred house in Mecca, with both Muslims and unbelievers participating. A large crowd of different people of different religions would gather in Mecca, all of them honoring Mecca and recognized its sanctity and its outstanding position in the eyes of Allah. The people of Mecca at that time were the Amalekites. They were called Amalek because their forebearer, Amlak, son of Shem, son of Noah. The lord of Amalek in Mecca at that time was a man called Muawiyah ibn Bakr. His mother's name was Nada, the daughter of Al-Khubayari, a man of Ad. When the rain dried up, the people of Ad suffered greatly and said to each other, "Let us prepare a delegation from among us to go to Makkah and pray for rain for you." They sent Kayal ibn Anz and Luqman ibn Huzal ibn Huzail and Utail ibn Dad ibn Ad the elder and Murhid ibn Saad ibn Ufair, who was a Muslim but hid his conversion, and Jamallah ibn al-Hubayari, the maternal uncle of Muawiyah ibn Bakr. They also sent Luqman ibn Ad ibn Dad ibn Ad the elder. Each one in this group set out with a band of men from his people, so that the number of persons in their delegation reached 70 men. When they came to Makkah, they stayed with Muawiyah ibn Bakr, who dwelt on the outskirts of Makkah outside the sanctuary. He gave them lodging and hospitality, for they were his uncles and in-laws. They stayed with him for a month, drinking wine and being entertained by the two locusts, two female singers, Muawiyah ibn Bakr's. Their journey had lasted a month, and their stay lasted a month. So when Muawiyah saw how long they were staying, their people having sent them to seek help because of the disaster that had struck them, he felt troubled and said, "My uncles and in-laws are dying while these are staying with me as my guests. By Allah, I do not know what to do with them. I am embarrassed to order them to go back to the place from whence they were sent, for they would think that I had acted out of weariness over their staying with me. However, their people at home are perishing of distress and thirst." He revealed his grievance to his two locusts, and they said to him, "Compose a poem which we will sing to the visitors without their knowing who composed it. Perhaps this will convince them to move on." So Muawiyah ibn Bakr said, "Woe to you, O Kayal! Arise and murmur a prayer. Perhaps Allah will bestow clouds on us, so the land of Ad will be watered. Indeed, Ad do not utter words clearly. Because of the great thirst, we can beseech with these words, neither the old sheikh nor the young boy. Their women lived in comfort, but now they are lacking milk, and the wild beasts approach them openly, not fearing an arrow from any member of Ad. While you are here, enjoying in full measure what you desire, all day and all night long, how much more disgraceful is your visit than that of any other. May you never again be met with greeting and salutations." When the two locusts sang this to them, they said to each other, "O men, your people sent you to seek assistance for them because of this distress which has descended upon them, but you have kept them waiting. Enter the sanctuary and pray for rain for your people." Murthid ibn Saad, who had secretly become a believer in Hud alayhi salam, in secret then said, "Your prayer for rain will not be answered, but if you obey your prophet and repent to your Lord, you will be given rain." With that he made public that he became a Muslim. When Jalhama ibn al-Khubayri, the maternal uncle of Muawiyah, heard these words and realized that Murthid followed the religion of Hud alayhi salam, he said, "Abu Sa'd, you are from a tribe of men of honor and nobility, and your mother is of Thamud. We will not obey you as long as we live, nor will we do that which you would. Do you command us to abandon the religion of Rafad and of Ramal, the family of Dad and Al-Ubud, to abandon the religion of noble forefathers, men of judgment, who follow the religion of Hud?" Then he said to Muawiyah ibn Bakr and to his father Bakr, who was a venerable sheikh, "Hold back Murthid ibn Saad, so that he does not proceed to Mecca with us, for he follows the religion of Hud alayhi salam, and has abandoned our faith. When they entered Makkah to pray that the Ad be given rain, Murtad ibn Sa'd set out from Muawiyah's dwelling and overtook them there before they had prayed to Allah. He began praying to Allah just when the delegates of Ad did. He said, Allah grant my request for my own sake, and do not link me in any way with the prayer of the delegates of the Ad. Kayal ibn Anz, the chief of the Ad delegates, had commanded the others to make him their representative, and so the delegates of the Ad said, Allah grant unto Kayal what he thinks of you, and place our request with his. Then Luqman ibn Ad stayed behind and did not join the delegates of the Ad in their prayer. He said, Allah, I have come to you alone in my need. Grant my request. When Kayal ibn Anz prayed, asking for rain, he said, Allah, I did not come for a sick man whom I would be able to treat, nor a prisoner whom I could ransom. Allah, give rain to the Ad as much as ye used to. Our Allah, if Hud is a true prophet, give us rain, for we perish. Then Allah created three clouds, one white, one red, and one black. Then a herald called to him from the cloud, Kayal, choose one of these three clouds. Kayal said, I choose the black cloud because it has the most water. The herald called out, saying, Kayal, you have chosen ashes, only much of it. It will not leave alive any one of the people of Ad. It will spare neither a son nor a father, but turn them all into rotten bones and stiff corpses, except for the Banu al-Luwayda, the well-aided. The Banu al-Luwayda were a group of the Huzal ibn Huzail ibn Bakr. They lived in Makkah with their maternal uncles and had not been with the Ad in their lands. They are the last surviving Ad. Allah dispatched the black clouds which Kayal had chosen, containing the punishment against Ad, and it came upon them emerging from a wadi of theirs which is called Al-Mughith. When they saw it, they took it as a good omen and said, This is just a passing cloud that will bring us rain. But Allah said, No, it is what you were trying to hasten, the wind which carries the grievous punishment. It will destroy everything at the bidding of its Lord. Quran chapter 46 verse 24 to 25. Or everything over which it passed. A woman of the Ad, called Muhaddid, was the first to see it and to realize that it was a destructive wind. When she recognized the punishment it carried, she cried out, then swooned. After she recovered, people asked her what she saw. She replied, I saw a wind in which there was something like flames of fire with men in front guiding them. Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn al-Hussein, Muhammad ibn Jafar al-Hussein ibn al-Wa, Ismail ibn Isa from Ishaq ibn Bashir al-Muntaha, ibn Sabah, Amir ibn Shu'ab, his father, his grandfather, that Allah inspired the lethal wind to go forth against the people of Ad and take revenge from them for him. So the wind went forth without limitation or boundary, as if emanating from the nostrils of a bull, whereupon the earth trembled from east to west. The angels said, Lord, they will not be able to endure the wind as it is. It will destroy all that is between the easternmost and westernmost part of the earth. Allah inspired it to return and go forth like the whole of a seal, which is a ring. Allah imposed it against them for 7 nights and 8 successive days. Quran chapter 69 verse 7, that is to say, steadily, consecutively. It spared no one of Ad, and they were destroyed. Hud alayhi salam and those with him were separate in an enclosure, and all that befell them of the wind only soothed their skins and gave pleasure to the spirit. but it pierced the people of Ad, then carried them between heaven and earth, damaging their brains with stones until they perished. Muhammad ibn Ishaq and al-Suddi said, Allah sent the lethal wind against Ad, and when it came near them, they saw camels and people being blown about by the wind between heaven and earth. So they rushed into their houses, but when they entered, the wind came in after them and drove them out, and they perished. After Allah had destroyed them, He sent scavenger birds, and He cast the Ad into the sea. Ibn Bashar said that when the wind came out of the wadi against the Ad, a group of nine of them, among them was Al-Khuljan, their chief and elder in those days, who said, Come, let us stand at the head of the wadi and resist the wind. But the wind would go under each of them and lift them up and throw him down and break his neck. The wind would pick up large trees with their roots and tear down their houses on top of them. It would pick them up and leave them, as Allah has said, as though they were uprooted trunks of palm trees. Quran, chapter 69, verse 7. Until only Al-Khuljan was left of them, he made for the mountain and seized one side of it. The mountain shook him, and it continued shaking in his hand when he composed this poem. There remains only Al-Khuljain himself. O dreadful day and dreadful yesterday that befell me, you have tightened your grip with great strength. Had it not come to me, I would have gone to it and staved it off. Hud alayhi salam said to him, Woe to you, Khuljain, accept Islam and be safe. He replied to him, What will I have from your Lord if I accept Islam? He said, The garden. He asked, And who are those whom I see in the clouds as though they bring good luck? Hud alayhi salam said, Those are angels. He said, If I accept Islam, would your Lord assign me some of them to me for my people? Hud alayhi salam replied, Woe to you! Have you ever seen a king assigning away some of his troops? He said, If he acted in such a manner, I would not be pleased. Then the wind came, joined him with the others, and killed him. Allah made Ad perish except for those of its people who remained in Makkah and its environs. Al-Husayn ibn Muhammad al-Dinawari, Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Ishaq al-Sunni, Abu Yala al-Mawsili, Ishaq ibn Abi Israel, and Ubaydullah ibn Umar al-Kawariri, Jafar ibn Sulaiman al-Dabai, Farkad al-Sabakti, Asim, Amir al-Majali, Abu Umama al-Bahili said and confirmed that the Messenger of Allah said, Some people of this nation spent the night with food, drink, and entertainment, and wake up as apes and pigs, and ignominy and calamity befells them. Then people say, Tonight the earth has swallowed up the Banu so-and-so. He will send against them the lethal wind, which destroyed the Ad, for the drinking wine and taking usury, making use of singing girls, wearing silk, and violating the rules of kinship. It has been said, Then the delegates of Ad left Makkah until they passed by Muawiyah ibn Bakr and aligned there. While they were with him, a man came on a camel during a moonlit night from the cities of the Ad and related to them the destruction of the Ad. And they asked, Where did you part from Hud and his companions? He replied, I parted from them on the shore of the sea. And they seemed to doubt what he had related to them. But Haramala bint Bakr said, He is right by the Lord of the Kaaba. And Munawwar ibn Ja'far, the son of my brother Muawiyah ibn Bakr, is with them. It was said to Murtid ibn Sa'd, Luqman ibn Ad, and Kayal ibn Anz, when they prayed in Makkah, You have been granted your request, so choose for yourselves. Murtid said, Allah grant me pity and truthfulness, and he was given that. Gael said, I choose that there should befell me what befell my people. And he was told that means destruction. So he replied, I do not care. There is no sense that I survive my people. Then he received the punishment that befell the Ahad, and he perished. Luqman said, Lord, give me long life. And he was told, choose for yourself to last as long as 7 brown dung droppings of dusty gazelles, which raindrops never touched, or the lifespan of 7 vultures. When one vulture would die, you would turn into another vulture. He thought little of the permanence of dung droppings and chose the vulture, and so he was given the lifespan of 7 vultures. Each time he would take the fledglings, when they hatched from their eggs, choose a male from among them for its strength and raise it until, when it died, he would take another. He continued doing this until he reached the 7th vulture. Each vulture would live 80 years. And when only the 7th remained, a nephew said to Luqman, Uncle, only this vulture remains of your lifespan. Luqman said, Nephew, this one is Lubad. And Lubad in their language meant time. When Lubad's lifespan came to an end, the vultures flew off in the early morning from the top of a mountain, but Lubad did not fly away with them. Luqman's vultures were never kept out of his sight. When he saw that Lubad did not fly off with the other vultures, he went up the mountain to see what Lubad had done, and sensed a weakness in himself, which he had never felt before. When he reached the mountain, he found his vulture Lubad standing among the vultures and called to him, Fly off, Lubad. He was about to fly, but was unable, and he fell down, and Luqman died with him. It is about him that the proverb was coined. Eternity, Abad, has overtaken Lubad. And Al-Nabigah Al-Durbiyani said, It, the land, became desert, and its people were carried off. That which destroyed Lubad destroyed them. Muhammad ibn Ishaq said, Murtahid ibn Sa'd composed this poem when he heard the writer telling about the destruction of the Ad. Ad disobeyed their messenger and became thirsty, but heaven did not moisten them. Their delegates were sent for a month seeking rain, but they added more hardship to the thirst, because they openly blasphemed their Lord. Ruin followed them back in their footsteps. Indeed, Allah stripped the Ad of their reason, so now their hearts are a windswept wasteland. Who is their guardian now that they defied him? And what use is friendly admonition for their affection? Oh, could I but sacrifice my own soul, my 2 daughters, and my son's mother, for the soul of our prophethood as ransom. He came to us while our hearts were blinded to injustice. Light had disappeared. We had an idol who was called Sumud, who faces both thirst and health with equanimity, whereas those who turned to him in repentance were able to perceive him. Those who disavowed him were overtaken by misery. As for me, I shall join the people of Hud and his brothers when night falls. He then joined Hud alayhi salam and those with him who had become believers. Hud alayhi salam lived as long as Allah willed, and then he died, his lifespan being 150 years. Abdul Tufail Amir ibn Wat'ila said, I heard Ali r.a. say to a man of the people of Hadramut, Have you seen a red sandhill with the red clots of earth in it and many thorn bushes and lote trees in such and such a district in Hadramut? He said, Yes, Prince of the Believers, you have described it to me like a man who has seen it. Ali r.a. said, No, but I have been told about it. The Hadramuti said, What is the significance, Prince of the Believers? He replied, The grave of the Prophet Hud alayhi salam is in it. Abu Umar and Ahmad ibn Abi al-Arbi related to us from al-Mughira ibn Amir al-Walid, The grave is in Mecca, in the inviolate mosque between the corner of the Black Stone and the standing place of Abraham. Al-Fadl ibn Yahya al-Jundari informed us, as did Yunus ibn Muhammad and Yazid ibn Abi Hakim, Sufyan al-Thawari, Atta al-Sahib, Abdul al-Rahman ibn Sabit. Between the corner and the place of Abraham and Zamzam are the graves of 99 prophets and the graves of Hud alayhi salam, Saleh alayhi salam, of Shuyab alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam are in that place. According to other accounts, any prophet whose people were destroyed while he and the pious with him were saved would come to Mecca with his companions to worship Allah until they died, and Allah is all-knowing. Hello, Saf Beg here. If you're sick of having to wade through 2 hours of fluff in order to get a few good takeaways, tune into the Art of Manliness podcast. We glean and distill the very best insights from the world's experts in self-improvement, philosophy, practical skills, history, and more, and do so in under an hour without all the eye-roll-inducing filler. You'll walk away from every episode of the Art of Manliness podcast with actionable insights you can start implementing today to improve your life. I personally enjoyed their Butler's Guide to Managing Your Household, which I found really informative. The Art of Manliness podcast, available on your favorite podcast player. Ihram of the Pillars, a session about the remnant of Ad, the tale of Shadid and Shaddad, and a description of the Ihram of the Pillars. Allah has said, "Have you not seen what your Lord did to Ad of Ihram of the Pillars, the like of which were never created in the realm?" Quran chapter 89 verse 7. Sufyan Mansur Abu Wail, who said a man called Abdullah ibn Kilba went out seeking some of his camels that had got lost, that is, had run away. While he was in a wasteland of Aden, he came across a city guarded by a fortress. That fortress was surrounded by mighty castles and high mountains. Coming near them, he thought that he would find someone to ask about his camels, but he saw no one, neither within nor without. He dismounted and tethered his camel, drew his sword, and entered the gate of the fortress. Suddenly he found himself before two other gates, mightier and taller than any he had seen in the world. They were made from the finest aloe wood, with stars on them of yellow sapphires and red rubies, whose brilliance filled the place. When he saw this, he was struck with wonderment. He opened one of the gates, and behold, he was in a city the likes of which no one has ever seen. There were castles built in the air, supported underneath by pillars of topaz and sapphire, with chambers on top of each castle built of gold, silver, pearl, sapphire, and chrysolite. Each gate of those castles had panels like the panels of the gate of that city, of fresh aloes wood, with sapphires arrayed on them. The floors of the castles were covered with pearls and palettes of musk and saffron. When he saw all of this and did not see anyone there, he was overcome by fear. He looked at the lanes, and behold, in every one of them stood fruit-bearing trees, with streams flowing beneath them in channels of silver, and were shining more brightly than snow. He said to himself, "This is the garden that Allah hath described to his servants in this world. Praise be to Allah who let me enter the garden." He then took with him some of the pearls and pallets of musk and saffron, but he was unable to pull out any of the chrysolites or sapphires because they were inlaid in the doors and walls, whereas the pearls and pallets of musk and saffron were scattered like sand in those castles and chambers. Of those he took as much as he wanted, and went out and came to his camel. He mounted it and set out on his way, following the footprints of the camel, until he came back to Yemen. He showed what he brought with him and told people his story. He sold some of those pearls that had become yellow and changed color because of the long time that had passed. His story spread until it reached Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who sent a messenger to the ruler of Sana with a letter that he should dispatch him, and he did. He journeyed and came to Muawiyah's, who withdrew to be alone with him. He asked him about what he had seen, and he told him about the city and what he had seen there. Muawiyah marveled at the story and refused to believe what he told them, saying, "I do not think what you say is true." He replied, "Commander of the faithful, I have with me something of the things which are spread about the palaces and chambers of that city. What are they? Pearls, pellets of musk and saffron. Show them to me," said the Khalifa, and he spread out in front of him the pearls and musk pellets he had brought from that city. He smelled the musk pellets, but they had no fragrance. So he ordered one pellet to be crushed, and a fragrance of musk and saffron filled the air, and now he believed them. Then Muawiyah said, "What should I do in order to know the name of that city, to whom it belongs, and who built it? By Allah, no one was given what Suleiman, son of Daud, was given, yet I do not think that he had the likes of this city." One of his companions said, "Suleiman did not have a city like this, and the knowledge about this city can be found in our day only with Khab al-Ahbar. Now, if the commander of the faithful deems it right, let him send for Khab and order that he be brought here, that this man, Abdullah, be concealed from him in some place close by, so that the description of the city can be overheard. He may discern whether the reality of the city is like the description, and Khab will tell the commander of the faithful its story and tell whether this person had indeed entered it. Because this man could not have entered this city, the one that fits its description, unless it had been foreordained in the book that he entered it, for only in this way could he have known all of this." So Muawiyah sent for Khayb al-Ahbar, and when he stood before him, he said, "Abu Ishaq, I have summoned you in a manner of which I hope you have knowledge." He replied, "Commander of the faithful, you have come upon the most knowledgeable man. Ask whatever is on your mind." He said to him, "Tell us, Abu Ishaq, have you heard that there is a city in this world built of gold and silver, with pillars of chrysolite and sapphire? The pebbles of its castles and chambers are pearls. The streams in its lanes flow beneath trees." Khab said, "By him who holds Khab's soul in his hand, before anyone asked me, I thought that I would be asked about that city and what is in it. I shall tell you about it, Commander of the Faithful, to whom it belongs and who built it. That city is real, as the Commander of the Faithful has been told, and as it has been described to him. Its builder was Shaddad, son of Ad. The city is Iram on pillars, the like of which has not been created in the lands." Muawiyah said to him, "Tell us its story, Abu Ishaq. May Allah bless you." Khab said, "Commander of the faithful, Ad had two sons, one named Shahdid and the other named Shaddad. Ad died and his two sons remained. They took the rule into their hands and tyrannized and subjugated all the lands till all the people yielded to them. There remained no one in their time but became their subject, neither in the east of the earth nor in the west. When their domination was firm, Shadid, son of Ad, died, leaving Shaddad to rule by himself. No one contested his rule. The whole world belonged to him. Now he was devoted to reading the ancient books, and every time he found the garden mentioned therein, his soul urged him to create for himself its likeness in this world, thereby putting himself above Allah and blaspheming him. When the picture stood vividly before his eyes, he gave orders to build that city which is Ihram of the Pillars. He appointed in charge of the work 100 overseers with 1,000 assistants to each. He said to them, "Set out to the most excellent and largest piece of land in the world and build there for me a city of gold, silver, chrysolite, sapphire, and pearl. Under that city shall be pillars of chrysolite and sapphire, and castles shall tower over it, with chambers at the top of the castles. Below the castles you shall plant trees bearing every kind of fruit, and make rivers flow beneath those trees. For I saw in the books a description of the garden, and I desire to create a likeness of it on this earth, and hurry to dwell in it." But the overseers said to him, "How can we obtain the chrysoliths, sapphires, pearls, gold, and silver, of which you speak, in order to build a city such as you have described to us?" Shaddad said to them, "Do you not know that the wealth of the whole world is in my hand?" "Of course we do know," they said. "Go then to every place in which there is a mine of chrysolith, sapphire, gold, or silver, and every sea where there are pearls, and appoint men from every nation who will bring out to you all there is in each mine of that land. Then go and take what people possess of all that, besides what the owners of the mines will bring you. The mines of this world hold much of the wealth, and they hold even more of which you have no knowledge, more magnificent than what was demanded of you for the building of the city." Khab continued, "Then they went with a letter from him to each king in the world, commanding him to hand over to them all the jewels in this land and to dig up its mines. And the overseers handed every king the letter demanding all the riches of his realm. And after doing this work without stop for 10 years, they had accumulated all the chrysolith, sapphires, pearls, gold, and silver that they needed for Ihram of the Pillars, and they seized a place such as he had desired and described to them." Muawiyah said, "Abu Ishaq, how many kings were under Shaddad's rule?" He said, 260 kings. Khab continued, "Then the workmen and overseers went on their way to look over the deserts to choose a place that suited his wishes, but they found none save in the land of Abin, in the country of Aden. There they came upon a vast steppe, free of mounds and hills, and lo, with ever-flowing springs. They said to one another, 'This fits the description of the land that we were demanded to find.' So they took hold of a very wide and long terrain as he had ordered them, and laid down fixed boundaries. They then went to the locations where the water was to flow, and put to use the channels for those streams. Next they laid foundations of onyx stones of Yemen, and the mortar for these foundations they kneaded with the oil of the ben tree and the mahlab. After they completed laying the foundations and making the channels work within the lanes, the king sent them the jewels, the gold, and the silver. Some of them sent hammered bars, others sent skillfully wrought gold and silver. They gave all that to those overseers and helpers, and they remained there until they had finished building the city in the manner Shaddad had demanded. Muawiyah said, Abu Ishaq, it must have taken a long time to build the city. He said, Yes, Commander of the Faithful, I have found in the Torah that it took 300 years to build. Muawiyah said, And how long was the life of its master, Shaddad? He lived for 700 years. Then Muawiyah said, Abu Ishaq, you have told us a wonderful story. Do tell us more. He said, Commander of the Faithful, Allah named the city Irham of the Pillars because of the pillars of chrysolith and sapphire beneath it. There is no other city of chrysolith and sapphire in the world. For that reason, he said, the like of which was not created in the lands. Khab said that when they came and told him that they had finished the work, he said, Go and build a fortress to overlook the city, and build around the fortress 1,000 castles with 1,000 watchtowers near each castle. One of my ministers shall be in every one of the castles and in charge of each watchtower. So they returned and built those castles, the watchtower, and the fortress. Again they came and told him of the completion of that which he had commanded them. And Khab continued, saying that then he commanded 1,000 ministers from among his chief men to prepare their affairs and undertake to move to Irham of the Pillars. And he commanded other men to live in those watchtowers and to stay there by night and by day. He ordered that they be given a soldier's pay and provisions. The king then ordered whomever he wanted of his wives and servants to prepare for the journey to Irham of the Pillars, and they busied themselves with their preparations for 20 years. The king then travelled, accompanied by those he had chosen, to the land of Abin, and more of his people remained behind than journeyed with him. When he was at a distance of a day's and night's journey from that city which he desired to make his residence, Allah sent upon him and upon all those who were with him a noisy punishment from heaven, and it destroyed all of them, not one remained. Thus neither Shaddad nor anyone with him entered Irham of the Pillars, nor could anyone enter the city until now. This is the account of Irham of the Pillars. However, in your era, a Muslim man will come into the city, see it, and tell what he has seen with his own eyes, but he will not be believed. Abu Ishaq, Muawiyah said, Can you describe him for us? He said, Yes, he is ruddy, red-haired, short, with a mole on his eyebrow and a mole on his neck. He will set out in search of some of his camels in those deserts, and will come upon Irham of the Pillars, enter it, and carry away some of what is there. All the while the man was sitting with Muawiyah. Then Khab turned, saw him, and said, This is the man, Commander of the Faithful. He has visited that city. Ask him about what I said about it. Muawiyah said, Abu Ishaq, this is one of my servants, and he has not been away from me. Khab said, He has entered the city, or if he has not, he will enter it, and so will the adherents of this religion at the end of time. Abu Ishaq, Muawiyah said, Allah made you superior to all other scholars, for you have been given all the knowledge of the ancients and of the modern sages, such as has not been given anyone. Khab said, Commander of the Faithful, by him who holds the soul of Khab in his hand, Allah has created nothing on earth, but has explained it in the Torah to Moses. But verily, this Quran holds more severe tenets, and Allah is the best witness and protector. Al-Shahabi said, Dagfal al-Shaybani told us about a man from Hadramut called Bistam, who came upon the grave of Shaddad, son of Ad, in one of the mountains of Hadramut overlooking the sea. He said, From my childhood until I reached middle age, I often heard of a cave in one of the mountains of Hadramut, which people were afraid to enter. I did not set great store by all of that until one time when I was sitting in my people's meeting place. They recited verses and told of that cave at great length and detail. So I said to my folk, I shall not desist until I enter that cave. Is there anyone among you who will help me? A young man in their midst said, I shall accompany you. But I said, O nephew, do you dare do that? He said, I possess a man's composure and courage. Then we prepared a candle and took along large leather vessels filled with water and enough food to sustain us, and we would be able to carry. Then we set out towards that mountain with the cave. The mountain overlooked the sea at a place from which the people of Hadramut used to set sail. When we reached the opening of that cave, we fastened our clothes to our body and lit the candle. Then we spoke the name of Allah and entered with those leather vessels of water and the food. It was a huge cave, 20 cubits wide and about 50 cubits high. We walked along and tumbled down on a smooth, even track and then came to a staircase belonging to Ad, in which each step was 20 cubits wide and 10 cubits high. We braced ourselves to descend those steps, and I said to my companion, Come, give me your hand, and I would hold his hand so that he could descend, and when he got down and was standing on the step, I would hang from the edge of the step and cling to it until my foot reached his shoulder. We went on doing this all day long until we had descended them 100 steps in all. Then we reached a huge vaulted hall dug into the mountain, 100 cubits long, 40 cubits wide, and 100 cubits high. Facing the entrance was a bed of gold with a large body that took up the length of the vaulted hall and its width. He was stretched out on his back like someone sleeping. He had 70 sets of clothes on him, according to his length and breadth, interwoven with rods of gold and silver. That vault was lighted through an opening 2 cubits in width and 3 cubits in height, leading out to a vast expanse. At the head of the bed was a huge tablet of gold bearing a script unlike any other. It was writing of the scribe of Ad, who wrote it in his time. It was engraved into the tablet. We ascended and drew near to that man and touched those garments, whereupon they fell into decay while the gold rods remained. We gathered them up. They weighed 100 ratal. We put them into our waist wrappers and cloaks. We wanted to pull out some of the gems with which the bed was studded, but could not, because they were too tightly fastened into the bedstead. So we left them. Then the night descended upon us while we were in that vault. We knew that the day had passed by from the disappearance of the light that came through the hole. We spent the night in that vault. The candle that we brought with us went out. When we arose in the morning, I said to my companion, What do you think? He said, There is no way for us to return by the way we came because of the height of the stairs, which we will not be able to climb, especially now that the candle has gone out. But come, let us stay with the light that we see in that hole. This way I hope that we can go out to the open air, if Allah wills. By my life, I said to him, this is indeed a good idea. We lifted the golden rods we had taken along and the tablet that had been at the head of the bed and made our way through the opening. We walked along a narrow path for a distance of 100 cubits and emerged from it into a grotto in that mountain, resembling a steep-like wall and bordered by the sea. For 3 days and nights we sat at the entrance to that opening, living on the rest of the water and food that we had. On the 4th day we saw a ship approaching on the sea. We waved to it, and its crew saw us and sent a boat to us. We climbed down from the entrance of the opening. It was an arduous descent, and climbed into the boat. When we returned from the sea, we divided the gold between us, and a tablet became my share. Then our souls called us to return to that cavern near the opening, so we embarked on a boat and traveled on the sea towards the place from which we had set out, but its location was hidden from us. We realized that we would not benefit from that place except by what we had already taken, and we went home. The tablet remained with me for a whole year, during which time I found no one who could read it for me. At long last, a man from Sana'a, a Himyari, came to me who could read that script. We took out the tablet for him, and he read it. Here are the verses that were written on it. O you who are allowed by long life, take a lesson from me. I am Shaddad, son of Ad, the lord of the fortress, brother of might and misery and endless wealth. All the people of the earth submitted to me, fearing my threats. I ruled the east and the west with cruel might and supreme authority, with military equipment and many men. Hud came to us. We had gone astray before Hud, and he came to us. Had we but heeded him, it would have been the right path. But we disobeyed him and called out, Is there a way to swerve from that path? And a punishment came upon us. Swooping down from the distant horizon, and in the midst of the desert, we all came in like harvested crops. Dogfall said, The sages of Himyar asked about Shaddad, and I said that he had come close to Irham of the Pillars when he was killed, and that he was found in a cave, that is, the one in Hadramut. It is told that when he and those with him were killed by the punishment from heaven, a day's journey from that city, Mazid, son of Shaddad, became ruler after him. His father had appointed him his successor over his dominion in Hadramut. Mazid commanded that his father be brought to Hadramut, and he was carried, daubed with myrrh and camphor. Then, on his orders, that cave was dug out, and there he laid him down on that bed of gold, and Allah is all-knowing. In the Great Khan's Tent is now available on Ko-fi. If you are interested in supporting this podcast, please click on the link available on our many social media platforms or email us. Why not donate to our Ko-fi to show your appreciation? Every bit helps, and we thank you for your continued support. We love that our listeners love listening to us. This episode has been written, edited, and produced by Saf Beg. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day and or night. And may the journeys on which you are set upon be fruitful. Thank you for listening.